The following recording is from the previous cycle.
Today's daf is Bava Metzia daf Kufvav, and we are at the second wide line on daf Kufhei Amid Beis. More halachos regarding a mekabel sada mechaver. So the Mishnah, the second Mishnah on daf Kufhei Amid Aleph, discussed somebody that was mekabel sada mechaver, veloy asasa, but as he began working the field, he realized that things weren't going as smoothly as he had previously projected. The issue is that he's an aris, and the arrangement that he has with the landlord is that anything that the field produces, he's going to split based on what their arrangement was between himself and the Baal HaSadeh. He would love to back out because he feels that this is a very poor usage of his time, but the landlord was expecting certain income to come from it. There was an arrangement. The question is, at what point does the aris, the farmer, have a right to back out? And at what point do we say that he does not have a right to back out? So it was Machlokes Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. The Tanakam said, "Im yesh ba kidei lahamid kri, chayav l'tapaba." If he can produce in this field enough for him to be able to take the tefuah that was produced and make a pile, the Gemara clarified how big that pile has to be, then he's obligated to work. If he won't even be able to produce that, then he can leave. Rabbi Yehuda said, "My kitso b'kri." It doesn't make any sense that we should take a fixed amount of tefuah as being the shear. Shouldn't the shear have to be relative to the size of the field? So in a very large field, the kri may be a little. A small field, it may be a lot. Elo said, Rabbi Yehuda, "Yeshba kedei nefila." What matters is whether there is kedei nefila, says the Gemara. V'kama kedei nefila. What exactly does that mean? Rabami Yomar, Rabami said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, "Arba soin likor." If a parcel of land that historically produced a kor was able to produce 4 zayin, that would be considered enough that you'd be obligated to work it. Rav Amar Dilei Amar, Rav Amar said himself, meaning the first opinion he had heard in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, this is something that he was himself of the opinion of, and that is Shmoyna Samlakar. Now it has to be more. If something that traditionally would produce a kor is able to produce 8 zayin, not 4 zayin, then he would have an obligation to continue the work to field. And the svara behind it, the methodology is that to the extent that the field can produce enough so that if you take what was produced, those seeds, and you replant it, next year you'll be able to have a sufficient produce, then you're obligated to do it. But if you're not producing enough for even next year, so that when you replant it, you can have enough, then it's okay. So it sounds a little bit like the Machlokes Rabbi Yochanan and Rav Ami is what would be considered enough tefuah for you to be able to plant a area that ordinarily could produce a kor. According to Rabbi Yochanan, it's 4 son. According to Rav Ami, it's 8 son. I'm going to explain to you the machloikis. Meaning, it's not really so much a machloikis and mitzias, but rather, b'shnei Rabbi Yochanan havishmein ha'aron. In Rabbi Yochanan's times, the land was very fertile. And being that the land was very fertile, 4 son was enough to be able to sow this land. B'shnei Rav Ami have krisha. In Rav Ami's times, the land was weaker. I mean that the land was weaker, it wasn't enough to sow the land with 4 son, but rather you would have to have 8 son. If you take a look at Rashi, a short Rashi, Asperolach, Lav de Rav Ami, Polagat Rav Yechon Rabbe. Rav Ami really wasn't arguing with his Rebbe Rav Yechon. Why then did he give a different shear? Says the Gemara. Rashi is going to explain, because he lived in a different kufa. Sounds like Rashi's almost telling us the way it works, that the world is Peiches V'Hoylech. I mean that the world is Peiches V'Hoylech. Rav Ami, who was a Talmud Rav Yochanan, he was a generation later. So B'Shnei Rav Yochanan, the land was more fertile. Or Rav Ami lived already a generation later. There was a Yeridus Adairus. And being that there was a Yeridus Adairus, it's for that reason that you would need more seeds in order to be able to sow this ground. So unless it produced more, it wouldn't be enough. But what's this idea? Is that a mitzvah? That the ground, the land becomes less and less fertile? You could potentially say that being that we know the Gemara says that the real power behind all the bracha, shefa, v'atzlacha that a person has is in the schus of the tzaddikim. Kol oilam nizoin b'shvil chanina ben Irab. Chanina ben Doisa sat in his vinkel and he learned Torah and he davened to Hashem and he served the Kadosh Baruch Hu, but it was in his schus that all the bracha was in the world. So maybe if there's a Yeridus Adairus from the spiritual standpoint, meaning the gedolim of this generation, not like the gedolim from the previous generation, or not like the gedolim of the previous generation, that's a halacha psuka, that we this Yeridus HaDeiros, it maybe would make sense that it would manifest itself in the Olam Bim Miskalka V'Holach as well. Either way, an interesting Lashon HaRashi talked away. Tanan Asam, HaRuach Shepizro Esa Oimrim. Somebody had a field, and in the field it was Leket. Leket is one of the Matnas Aniyim. And then there was a lot of his own tefuah there as well. A wind came, and it mixed everything together. The problem is he doesn't know what's Leket anymore. So what does he do? He assesses how much leket should this field have produced. And he has to give that amount to the anim. Shimon Gamliel has a different shir. Kedei nefila. It's the same shir that Rabbi Yehuda gave in our mission. That's why the Gemara brings it over here. But the kedei nefila of our Mishnah and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's kedei nefila is not the same thing. It's the same term, but it doesn't mean the same thing. So v'kam kedei nefila. What does kedei nefila mean over here? Gus Rav Dimi Amar Rabbi Loz. V'tem Rabbi Yochanan Arbas Kabin Likor. We have to assume that each area of four kabin can produce a kor, meaning that's how much you have to assume would be leket. By Rabbi Yirmiya, likor zera or likor tfuah. When we say a kor, do we mean a kor of seed, a property that required a kor of seed, or is it a kor of tfuah, which is a much smaller amount? And if you're going to tell me it's a kor zera, the mapeilis yad, or the mapeilis shfar, apparently there were two ways to plant the field. You can do it manually, or you could have your shar do it, and it would require a different amount of seed. Tashma, the chiyas, rav, amr, avo, amr, abalaz, av, amid, amr, abyechnon, arbas, kabin, the kor zera. The shir is abas, kabin, the kor zera. Vatayin, tibayloch, what about the second shiloh? The mapeilis yad, or the mapeilis shfar, meaning we were pushed at the first shiloh, that it's not kor tfua, it's kor zera. What about the second shiloh? Is it mapeilis yad or mapeilis shvarin? Says the Gemara, teiku, that shiloh, in fact, we're not able to resolve. So before we go weiter, very interesting daf, bava metzia daf kovav, just one piece of raid with regards to the last Gemara that we saw yesterday. So the Gemara was bringing different halachos that were said in the name of the Vei Rabbi Yana. Rabbi Yana is yeshiva. There were certain psakim that came out from there, and the Gemara brought them. The last one was a halacha in Eirech Chaim, which is a little bit of a breather, halacha in Hilchas Tfila and Hilchas Tfilin. The Gemara said, Omri de Vei Rabbi Yana, Litfila ulitfilin dalet kabin. When it comes to a certain halach in Hilchas Tefillah and a certain halach in Hilchas Tefillin, you should know Dalet Kabin, says the Gemara, the Tefillah Ma'i. What's this halach of Dalet Kabin that relates to Tefillah? Tanya, we went to the Braisa. If somebody is carrying a load, v'yigiyaz man Tefillah, and it came time to daven, and he has this load that he's holding, pachis mi Dalet Kabin, if the load that he's carrying is less than four Kabin, mafshilu ma'chayrav, he can hold it, u'mispalol and daven. Arba Kabin, if however it weighs four kabin, it's heavier, maniach agavi karka, he has to put it down, and only then is he allowed to daven. So Rabbi Yana said a halacha, dalet kabin letfila, what did he mean to say? That if I'm carrying something, v'higi is man tfila, I have to daven. Can I continue to carry what I'm carrying and daven, or do I have to put it down? Dalet kabin, that's the answer. If it weighs dalet kabin, I have to put it down. If it doesn't weigh dalet kabin, then I can continue to daven with it. What's the reason that if it weighs dalet kabin, there should be an issue, Rashi says, because when you're davening, you're supposed to have kavana. And if you're going to be carrying something heavy, it's going to be difficult for you to have kavana. And being that it's going to be difficult for you to have kavana, you'd have to put it down. Pachas midal kabin, you could have kavana. Oh, so if you could have kavana, there's no issue. This halach is brought down in Shulchan Aruch. It's brought down in Aruch Chaim, Simen Tzadik Zayin, Sif Katan Hey. But if you look one simen earlier, Sif Katan Simen Tzadik Vav, it's a small simen. Ubay Beisithin, the Shulchan Aruch over there discusses different things that a person should not hold in his hand while he's davening. I'll just read the first halacha to you. Kushum mispalil, la yoichas biyadei tefillin. You shouldn't hold tefillin even. V'loi sefer mikisvei hakoyd. You shouldn't hold a sefer. V'loi ka'ara maleya. Nor should you hold your lunch. V'loi sakin. Don't hold a knife. Umais, money. Kikar, bread. Mipnei shelibay aleim, because these are things that you think about when you're holding them. Shela yiplu, v'yitareid, v'tisbatel kavanosai. And it's going to mess up your kavana. V'lulav bizmanay mutaleches v'yada. You'll add a hold the lulav, says the Shulchan Aruch, on Sukkot because it's a mitzvah. And then, amazingly, halacha beis, mutaleches machzer tefillos. You'll add a hold the siddur. Imagine, there's a havamina that you shouldn't be able to hold the siddur because it's going to take away from your kavana. I have a mishabura, an interesting simon. The point is that being that there's an obligation for a person to have kavana while he's davening, if you're going to be holding something in our sugya, it's a mass of dal kavin, it's elaborated in Shulchan Aruch as we just saw, that's something that would be a problem. However, if you take a look in the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, Shulchan Aruch HaRav, in the end of Simen Tzadik Zayin, that's where this is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, brings another reason for this halacha. Why, if you're holding a masa of Dalit Kabin, you're not allowed to daven. Says the Shulchan Aruch HaRav, two reasons. Number one, Shlo Yehei Torut B'Tfilosei B'Achizas HaMasu Yaksev B'Yodai. V'lo Yucha L'Chavim Karoi. Like Rashi says in our sugya, the Pashup Shat. V'oid, another reason, L'Fnei Melech Basav Adam in Oindem Kein. If you were standing in front of a Melech, would you be holding your briefcase? Would you be holding a masa of Dalet Kabin? You wouldn't. So if you wouldn't stand that way in front of a Melech Basav Adam, you shouldn't stand that way. So another reason, a person, when he davens Shemayin Esrei, he's standing in front of the Melech. If he's standing in front of the Melech, you have to act the part. You have to act and behave in a way that you would if you were standing in front of a melech. And being that this is something that you wouldn't do if you were standing in front of a melech, it's for that reason it's going to be awesome. And the truth is, I heard from Reb Shimon Goldstein Shlita, told me, gave several shiurim on this, that this idea that Shmoyne Esrei is oimed lifnei hamelech, when a person daven standing in front of a melech, that is the theme that underpins so many halachas in the Hilchos Tefillah. And he said, if you understand that, so much of the halachas that you're familiar with in Hilchos Tefillah will start making a lot of sense. For example, the kriyos, when you finish Shmoyne Esrei, you go Oyster Shalom. What's the idea of going Oyster Shalom? Because once upon a time, when somebody stood in front of the king, you wouldn't just jam, leave, okay, done, I have nothing else I need anymore, see you later, catch you. No, you would walk out respectfully. You're not supposed to spit while you're davening Shmoyne Esrei. There's even an idea of not looking outside the siddur, not having your eyes open while you're davening Shmoyne Esrei. The Zohar Kaddish says, because you're standing lifnei the Shechina, and Ki'ilu, you're looking at the Shekhinah. Upanai la'iro. It's something that you're not allowed to do. If someone's davening Shmoyne Esrei, you're not supposed to walk within his Dalet Amos. Why don't you walk in front of someone that's davening Shmoyne Esrei? Because he's standing in front of the king. Imagine someone's talking to the king. Would you just like, excuse me, sir, just be a moment? No, you don't do that. You have to act in a certain respectful way. The point is that being that when a person davens Shmoyne Esrei, he's oymed lifnei hamelech, it's for that reason that Shmoyne Esrei is treated differently. It's a dua. Reb Chaim Briska, that Reb Chaim asked a stira in the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah. The Rambam, in Perek Dalet Hilchos Tefillah, Halacha Aleph, Chamisha Dvar Ma'akin Asa Tefillah. There are five things that are Ma'akiv Tefillah. Meaning, if you davened and you violated one of these five things, it's not a Tefillah. Tyrus Ayodayim, your hands weren't clean. V'kiso Ya'erva. V'tayres mokam atfilah, v'dvar ma'chayv senoysay, the last thing, which is what we need, v'kavona salev. Kavona salev, sounds like from the Rambam, is ma'akav es atfilah. And then the Rambam, in Alochet Hezvav, explains, kavona salev keitzad, kol tfilah she'ena b'kavona ein atfilah. A person who davens, shalei b'kavona, senish kain tfilah, v'mespalable kavona, let's say you daven, Shmoneh Esrei, and you didn't have kavona, chayzer u'mespalable kavona. You have to daven all over again. Let's say it's time to daven, and you know you're not in a place to daven. You're not allowed to daven. Because if you're not going to have kavanah, it's ma'akiv the tefillah, and if you're going to daven a tefillah that's ain't a tefillah, then don't daven. Lefichach says the Rambam, habam in aderech, v'hu oyef, oymeitz are also leil hispal, achet is yashiv daitei. Somebody comes back from a trip, from... he's not allowed to daven. Amru chachamim shloisha yalim. So don't try this at home. But maybe with a minyan. Certainly don't try this at home. But also, you have to wait even 3 days potentially. Bottom line is, Rambam is very clear. The Rambam perek da halacha aleph, and then he explains, embellishes it in halacha tezvav. A person's not allowed to daven unless he could have kavana. Kavana is something that's ma'akev as a tefillah. Let's fast forward to Hilchos Tefillah, Perek Yud. Misha espal v'lo kimin esliboy. Let's say somebody daven. He didn't have kavana. Yachzer v'yispal v'kavana. You should daven. V'im kivan libe b'bracha rishayna. But if you had in mind by the first bracha, halacha that we all know, shuvei nitzarech, then you don't have to. Why? Because kavana is only ma'akiv, the first bracha. But as long as you had kavana during the first bracha, you're K-O-K. Freik Reb Chaim Briska. So chastiris ha-Rambam. This is the second piece in Chedush Reb Chaim Alevi al-Rambam. The Rambam in Perek Dal Alocha Aleph Alocha Yud said that tefillah is kavana is ma'akiv esa tefillah. Kol tefillah she'ena b'kavana, ain't a tefillah. If you daven without kavana, it's as if you didn't daven. And here the Rambam says that tefillah is only ma'akiv in the first bracha. Meaning, if tefillah without kavana is not a tefillah, then if you say the brach of Atochein Elodim Das, and you didn't have Kavano, Slach Lono Vinu Kichatano, without having Kavano, means you didn't say Atochein, you didn't say Slach Lono. If a person daven Shemay Nesrei and he misses some of the brachas, of course it's Ma'akev Esat Tfilo. And that's the Rambam's beer in why Kavano is Ma'akev Tfilo. Because Kol Tfilo Sheinu B'Kavano Ein Tfilo. So how can then the Rambam say in the Perek Yud that the only bracha where Kavano is Ma'akev is the bracha Rishayna? As I freak Reb Chaim. Says Reb Chaim, the Niro Loimer, the Trey Gavni Kavonos Yesh Betvila. There's two different types of Kavona. Ha'achas, Kavonos al Pirish Advar, Pirish Amilois. That when you're Davin Ishmael Esrei, Slach Lonu, Hashem, forgive us, Kichotonu, for we have sinned. It's Pirish Amilois of every word that you're saying during Davin. V'yesoida, who didn't Kavona. V'sheinis, says Reb Chaim, She'yichavin shehu oimed betvila lefnei Hashem. That when a person's davening, he has to be mechaven that he's standing in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says Reb Chaim, when the Rambam says that tefillah is only ma'akiv in the first bracha, he means pirush amilos. It means you're davening, and you didn't have in mind the taich of every word that you said. That's only ma'akiv in the first bracha. As long as you got the pirush amilos in the first bracha, you're okay. It's not ma'akiv as a tefillah. What does the Rambam mean when he says, kol tefillah she'ena b'kavona ena tefillah? If a person's davening, and he doesn't even think for a minute about what he's doing, he doesn't recognize that right now I'm standing in front of the king. I'm oimed lifnei hamelech. If you don't do that, says the Rambam, that tefillah is nishkain tefillah b'chlal. The Rambam, when he goes on and he describes what tefillah is, keitzad hi hakavono, sheyefana libay mikol hamachshavos, v'yira atzmai kilu hu oimed lifnei hashchina. That kavona is ma'akev. And if a person davens without having that kavona, it's not a tefillah. He's a misasik. Ba'alma says, Reb Chaim, it's as if he didn't even say the bracha at all. And that's what the Rambam means when he says it's ma'akev. So when it's only the first bracha, that's regarding pirush hamilos. But as that relates to a person realizing at the very least what he's doing, that's something that's ma'akev called tefillah b'tefillah. And any tefillah that a person davens without having that kavana, it's going to be ma'akev. There's a gemara in Masechtas Brachos, Daf Lamed Beis, Lamed Beis. We spoke at this Gemara a few times in the context of some real Bava Kama sugyas. Tanu Rabbanan, Maisa b'chassid echad, there was a story with a chassid, Shayim Mespalu Baderech. He was davening on the side of the road. Vosar echad, a sar came, v'nosan leishalein, had him bagrist, v'leihichso leishalein. But he didn't respond. Hamtan leishasayim tefilosei, this sar had respect for the chassid. He waited until he finished davening. Lach chasayim tefilosei, after he finished davening, Amalei, he told him, Reiko, doesn't it say in your own Torah, you realize, if I would have knocked your head off with a sayif, nobody would have stopped me. I'm a sar. You realize you put your life in danger. It says, so the chassid told the sar, hamtein li ad shafayascha b'dvar. Calm down. Take a deep breath. Let me explain it to you. Let me ask you a question. Let me ask you. If you were standing in front of a Melech Bas Avedam, and your friend came and he gave you shalom, would you answer him? Of course not. I'm talking to the king. And let's say you would. You tell the king, I have to speak to my friend for a moment. I'll be back with you. No, what would they do to you? He was very taken aback. And he let him go. Beautiful story. Really, really touching story. This chassid gives this sar a wonderful moser shmuz. But at the end of the day, the sar was right. The chassid had put his life in danger. He risked his life for davening Shmoy Nesre. Shmoy Nesre is not one of the Gimel Averis Chamuris. It's Averis Zara, Gilad Rayas, and Shvichas Daven. So Freik the Ben Yoyada, the Ben Ishchai, how did the chassid have a right to take this risk, to roll the dice, to continue davening Shmoy Nesre? At the end of the day, the Tsar was right. He put his life in danger, and it's not one of the Gimel Averis Chamuris. Zokte ben Yoyod, you know what the Teretz is? This Chassid was a Nadir Shemekayim. He wasn't just paying lip service to the Tsar. When he was davening Shmoy Nesrei, he really felt like he was standing in front of the Melech. He didn't hear the Tsar. He didn't even notice him. He was standing in front of the king. He was Oymed Lifnei Hashchina. He was so in tune in this meditative trance that he didn't even notice the Tsar. And a chanami. Had he heard the Tsar, he would have said, Aleichem Shalom. But at Gishtan and Shmoy Nesrei, And he stood Shmoneh Esrei the way he explained to the Sari he's supposed to stand Shmoneh Esrei. He was standing with the Melech Malchi Amlochim HaKadosh Baruch Shu Chai V'Kayim La'ad U'Lomei Elovim. He didn't hear the Sari. And Chanami, had he heard the Sar, he probably would have reacted differently either way. Zokta Mishnah Vayta, Makabel Sodom Echaveroi, another halacha regarding a Makabel. So somebody's a farmer, he took a field from his friend, V'ochlo Chogov, and then locusts came, grasshoppers of Makas Arba fame, Oy Nishtava, or there was some sort of Maka that affected the crops. In Makas Medina, if it affected the entire Medina, Menakaloi Min Chakairoi. We had this halacha earlier. The landlord is the one that has to absorb the loss, meaning the tenant can say that I'm going to deduct the amount of loss from the rent payment that I'm supposed to make. If it's not a makas medina, then he's not allowed to deduct. Yehuda says, let's say he's not a aris, he's not a chayker, but rather he's a regular tenant that's paying in money, he's paying in shekels. Again, what's unique about a chayker? A chayker pays a fixed dollar amount, but he pays it from the tefuah that grows. We're going to see in tomorrow's daf different halachas regarding that. He pays from the tefuah. A tenant doesn't pay from the revenue that's generated from his business. He just has an abstract obligation to make sure that he makes his payment. So to the extent that he didn't have to pay from the actual crops, then there's no reason that the landlord should have to absorb any of the loss. Meaning the only time the landlord is one that takes the loss when it's a Makas Medina is when the arrangement was that the landlord was going to get his income from the tefuah. The tefuah was affected. It was a Makas Medina, so he gets the loss. But if he was never shearing in the risk of the tefuah anyways, because his tenant is a regular tenant. I'm not in the business that my tenant is in. I'm in the real estate business. I lease out property. You have to. So there's no reason that the Makas Medina should affect me. Either way, it's a Das Yochid we'll see in the Gemara Shittas Rabbi Yehuda. But the bottom line is a very interesting halacha. The halacha of Makas Medina. One thing worth mentioning is that we saw in the beginning of the Perek where Papa said that the first two Mishnayos in the Perek relate to all types of a Makabel. Inside the chayker, inside the aris. But everything else is oy chayker, oy aris. This Mishnah is clearly talking about a chayker. It's not talking about an aris. Because if I'm an aris, and my arrangement with my landlord is that we just split the profits and the losses, then naturally, if there was a shidofin, or if chagov came, so whatever losses happened will naturally affect both of us pro rata based on what percentage of ownership that we have and what is produced. We're talking about a chayker who really has to pay a fixed rent amount. So solkadai techamino, it's your responsibility to provide whatever it is you need to provide. And even though the chayker is supposed to pay from the property, it's only the katchila. But b'di'eved, you have to come up with whatever means it is for you to be able to pay. So it's a chiddush. But that's what the Mishnah says, that if it's a Makas Medina, then the loss is put upon the landlord. Otherwise, it's going to be upon the tenant. What's the definition of a Makas Medina? That this field, if it was situated in a valley, if the majority of that valley was affected by this Makka, then it's called a Makas Medina. If the four adjacent properties to this property were affected, even if it's not Ruba de Baga, it's not the majority of the valley, that would be enough for it to be constituted as a Makas Medina. Oma Ula. Ula said, Bo b'marova. In Marova, they declared the following shailas. Nishtav telemech la'pnei kulamai. What if only one row, the row of the four fields that are adjacent to this field, was affected, but it was only that one row. The rest of it not. Is it still a Makas Medina? Not. Meaning, if the punchline of what Makas Medina is adjacent, Lamaisa, it's the chelik that was adjacent. But it's only that one telem in that field. It wasn't the entire field. Ifsika biramai. What if the ones adjacent were not affected, but really there is no field adjacent? The field that's adjacent is empty field. There's nothing there. So the closest field to this field was affected, l'chol arba ruchaysa. However, it's not mamish adjacent. There's a hefsik there, but the hefsik is a field that's bira, an empty field. What's the halacha there? Aspastamai, what if it's not an empty field? It's a field, however, where Michael Behema grows. Zera acharmai, what if it wasn't Michael Behema? It was real Michael, but a different type of Michael. My field produces one thing, the adjacent fields produce something else. And they were affected. Is it still considered Makas Medina? Chiti legabi soyrim. What about chiti legabi soyrim? Kizera achadami oyloi. Kol oylum kula b'chadofen. Another shayla. What if it was a Makas Medina, meaning let's say Ruba de Baga, but they were all affected b'chadofen. Wind came and it destroyed the crops. V'shaloi b'yirok, his was affected differently. His was yirok, it just turned yellow, it spoiled. Inami kolo ilum kula b'yirok, v'shaloi b'shadafu. My, is that considered a makas medina? I'll argue to makas medina. My field was affected, and so were everybody else's fields. But you may counter-argue and say, it wasn't the same makkah. So theirs was a makkah's medina, yours was something very personal. It says the Gemara, take omale, zorochiti, another shaylo, v'ozalhu, v'zorosairi. So a farmer made an arrangement with a landlord that he is going to take his field, and what's he going to plant? Chitin, wheat. And instead, he planted sa'irin. V'shtativ ruba debaga. The majority of the fields in the valley were affected, which would then mean that anything that happens to this field should be a makas medina. V'shtatef nami hanach sari delay, and his soirim were also affected. My, what's the halacha? What's the shaila? Mi amrina, do we say the amale ilu zar tachiti havinami mishtafo? Could the farmer tell the landlord that even though I was supposed to plant chitin and instead I planted soirim, but at the end of the day, does it matter? Even had I planted chitin, the chitin would have been ruined because there was a makas medina over here. All the chitin in the area were destroyed. So even though I didn't do what I was supposed to do, I should still be off the hook. I should still be able to be menaka, deduct from the rent amount that I'm supposed to give based on the fact that there was a makas medina. Oy dilma or no. Or could the landlord say, had you done what you were supposed to do and there was a shidofain and it was a makas medina, then you could deduct. But being that you didn't do the right thing, it's different. You know why? Matzi Amalei, maybe you can tell him. Ila zarat achiti, had you been zarei achitin, have a mekayim be, perhaps the following pasuk would have been niskayim by me. Vatigzer oimer, the yakum lach. Sometimes a person plants, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes that whatever he's trying to accomplish is actually going to be accomplished. Zok Rashi, what in the world does that have to do with anything? The ani says Rashi, loy bikashti min hashamayim betchilas hashana sheyatzlicheni b'sa'irin ela b'chitin. You know what the landlord has a kai chataina? Perhaps he could say, he could tell the tenant, you know, at the beginning of the year, I daven baruch aleinu rosh hashanah yom kippur. I daven for parnasa. What kind of parnasa did I daven for? The line of business that I'm in. I own property, and I lease out my property to farmers, and they plant chitin. So I daven to Hashem that I should have gevaldige chitin this year. What ended up happening? You went and you planted sa'irin. The soirin got ruined, makas medina, right? I can argue that maybe had you planted chitin, my tefillah would have been answered. So that even though there was a makas medina over here, maybe I would have had chitin. So you messed me up. Don't tell me you didn't mess me up because it would have happened anyways. Well, you think that's how it works? Everything is from shamayim. And tefillahs matter. So I davened for chitin. And not for soirin. And I believe it's because I didn't daven for the right thing that I got messed up. But potentially, had I daven for the right thing, says the Gemara, Mestabra, you don't know what the answer is. The Amalei, you can tell him. That's the right answer. He can tell him that no, being that you did soirin when you were supposed to plant chitin, I daven for chitin. Maybe had it been chitin, it wouldn't have been affected. The landlord is the one that has the better taina, and as a result, the tenant will not be able to deduct from the rent amount. What came to mind, just briefly, this Gemara is a Rashi in Chumash, a Rashi in Parshas Chukas. The pasuk says that Aharon HaKoyin was passed away. Vayemer Hashem al Moshe v'al Aharon b'hoi rohor al gvul eretz edem lemer ye osef Aharon al amov. And Kachas Aharim Vesaloz Ibn Vahalo Yisam Harahar, Vahavshit Azahar Begodav, Vayas Moshe, Vayiru Kolaida Kigova Aharim, Vayivko Azaharim Shloichim Yom Kol Beis Yisrael. Very next pasuk after Aharon Kohen dies, Vayishma Aknani Melech Harod Yeshiva Negev, Kibo Yisrael Derech Eisonim, Vayilochim Yisrael Vayishma Menoshevi. The Knani, who was the king of Arod, who lived in the Negev, he dwelled in the south, as soon as he heard that Aharon died, he came to attack the Yidden. Say Chazal. What's the connection between Misa Saharoi and the Knani Melech Harod coming to attack? Because as long as Aharon was alive, they were Anani HaKovet. As soon as Aharon passed away, Klai Yisrael lost Anani HaKovet. They lost Anani HaKovet. This was an opportune time for the enemy to attack the Kachava. That's exactly what happened. But it says Rashi, who exactly was this Knani, the king of Arod? Rashi says, Zeh Amalek. How do I know that? Because he lived in the Negev, and it says Amalek Yosheb, the Eretz HaNegev. Why then does the pasuk refer to him as the Knani? He's not the Knani, he's Amalek, he's the Amaleki. The Shina es Lishoine Ledabe Beloshin Knan. Says Rashi that Amalek, when they came to attack the Yidden, they changed the way that they spoke. They made themselves sound like they were from Canaan. You know why? Kideshi Yu Yisrael, Mispalim La Kodesh Baruch Hu, Lassis Kanabiyot. So that the Yidden should think that they're Canaan. And you know what Yidden are going to do when they see the Knanim are attacking? They're going to daven to Hashem, Hashem, save us from the Knanim. Vehemein Knanim. That tefillah maybe won't be answered because they're davening for the wrong person. You're davening to save from the Knanim. The Knanim aren't attacking you. You have to worry about the Amalek. Wrote Yisrael the Bushayim, but apparently they weren't so smart. The Yidden saw that their dread, they looked like Amalekim. But they sounded like Kanana Makol Kol Yaakov VaYudayim Yudei Hesav Amru. They said Nispalo Stam. Let's just daven. We don't know who we're supposed to daven for. And Nosan Titin is Amaz Abiyadi, and that's why you find the tefillah that they say immediately afterwards is this Loshon Stam because they didn't know who to daven for. On the one hand, they see Kananim, but then again, they saw Amalek. But either way, this idea you see in Rashi that if Klal Yisrael would have davened for Kananim, when in fact they were Amalekim, maybe it would have been an issue. I saw Mordiga Vart from the Lutzker up. He says, why did Amalek do this? Like, where did this come from? Amalek comes with this new patent. We're going to dress up like Kananim or make ourselves sound like Kananim, says the Lutzker up. You know why they did this? Because this wasn't Amalek's first time to the rodeo. This is the second time that they were going to attack the Yidden. The first time they attacked the Yidden, what happened? No. But rather, when Moshe Rabbeinu lifted his hands up to Shemayim, Klal Yisrael lifted their hearts up to Shemayim. They started davening to Hashem. And when they davened to Hashem, they were matzliach. Amalek had learned their lesson from their first war that they fought with the Yidden. The first war that Amalek fought with the Yidden, Amalek lost. Why? Because of the koyach atfil of Klal Yisrael. So they said, if we're going to go fight them again, we have to correct the problem that we had the first go around. What was the problem? Klal Yisrael daven. We have to somehow neutralize our koyach atfil. Otherwise, we don't stand a chance. So what did Amalek do? They dressed up. They made themselves sound like Kananim so that Klal Yisrael shouldn't have the koyach atfil. The Jews outsmarted them. But the point is that you see this idea related to our sugi right here, classic Lutzkarov. Regardless, another similar shayl, the shtatfu kol sadoisav. What if, again, you have a farmer, he's a chayker, all the fields in the area got messed up, all of them, of the machker. Vishtatif nami ha-badayu, v'loy ishtatif rubidabaga. Again, it wasn't a machas medina. The majority of the fields in the valley were not affected. All the fields of the landlord were affected. Do we say, it's not a Makkas Medina. Makkas Medina is the majority of the fields in the valley were affected. That's not what happened over here. It was all the fields of the landlord, but not the majority of the fields of the Medina. Or perhaps, or do you say that being that all the if his fields were affected, Matzi Amalei, he could tell him, Haimishum Lesel Didach. It certainly seems like this is your bad mazel that affected this over here. The Hamishtatvi Kol Sodei Secha, because all your fields were messed up. Meaning, could the farmer tell the landlord, if all the farmer's fields, if all the landlord's fields were ruined, does he have a similar taina to the taina Makkas Medina? That it's probably your bad mazel that affected this or not. So the Gemara says, Mistaber the Amalei, Imishum Lesodidi, have Mishtaili Purta. The Mistaber that again the landlord is the one that's going to win. The farmer cannot tell the landlord that I think it's your bad mazel. Because the landlord could always say that even though Hashem wanted to punish me, clearly he wanted to take away all my fields were messed up, besides, but still it makes sense that Hashem would want to leave me with something. It's a pasuk Yirmiyahu. That Hashem always leaves the Yid with something. He doesn't completely wipe him out. There's always a little bit of a something. So we're kulay mitzad my mazel. I would have at least had this. From the fact that I don't even have this, it must be this is your mazel. Meaning Hashem doesn't want me to lose everything. You're going to make me whole. That's how I'm going to end up not losing everything. But the point is, even though it's clear that there's something wrong with my mazel here, says the landlord, but at the end of the day, I don't believe Hashem would have wiped me out. He would have left me with something. What's my something? This field. The fact that this field was ruined means you're going to have to make me whole so that I won't lose this field. Nishtatful calls the dice of Shalchayku. What about the reverse? What if all the farmers' fields were messed up? The ishtad of Ruba the Bug and Ruba the Bug was messed up. The ishtad of Nami ha Bahadayu and this field also. So all the fields of the Chayker, all the farmer owned his own properties. All the farmers' properties were destroyed. The majority of the fields in the valley were destroyed. And this field that the farmer is leasing from the landlord was also destroyed. Could he come with a taina Makkas Medina or not? Me and Rina do we say, keeping the shot of Ruba the Bagum and Akile, this is Makkas Medina. What's the question? As long as it's Ruba de Bagya, it fits into that criteria of Makas Medina, certainly he should be able to deduct his losses from his rent amount. Or do you say that being that all of his own lands were lost, he can tell him Mishum Lesach deduct. It sounds like this is more your mazel than the Makas Medina, because the Makas Medina only affected Ruba de Bagya, and you were affected entirely, which is disproportionate. So it sounds like it's your mazel maybe that's really affecting this, maybe not the Makas Medina, maybe that's a Kaich HaTayna that the landlord has. The Hamishtet Fukol Sadei Secho, says the Gemara, Mistabra, again, the landlord's the one that's going to win. The Amalei, you can tell him, Mishum Lasachu, I believe it's your mazel. This is already a Chiddush. That even though the majority of the fields were affected, being that all of the Chaykers' fields were affected, the landlord can tell the Chayker, I believe it's because of you. But the Gemara says, Amai, it's, how do you reconcile this with the previous Gemara? Hachanami Nebele, why can't he tell him, Imeshom Lasoy Didi, were this just about my mazel, have a Meshai report, I would have at least been left with something. It was the same exact time that the landlord had. Shom Domele, here it's different. Because here the landlord could tell the farmer, if this was because of you, all your fields were lost. The only field that survived was the field that you're a tenant. If Hashem wanted to leave you with something, he would have left you with one of your own pieces of real estate, not the real estate that you're leasing from somebody else. So it's mashma, therefore, that you're completely wiped out. You're not kineshanu meyat meharbe. And as a result, even though there's a Makas Medina, I still believe it's altu amazel. When it's altu amazel, you're going to lose out. One interesting place where this is brought down in halacha, and that is in Evin Ezer Siman Tes, with regards to the halachas of Aguna. So we know that a woman that gets married twice, three times, but we pass him like Rebbe the Chumrah, that a woman that gets married twice and her husband dies both times, she's not allowed to get married a third time. Says the Rambam, the Eshayimrim, Davka imesu misas asman. That's only if these men died a natural death. Avlim nereg echemeyam. What if one of them was killed? Or imes badever. Or he died in a magefa. Or nafal umes. Or he fell and he died. Enoi klum. That reason, says Rabbi, you find that people are makel when it comes to the laws of katlonis. It's because there are carve-outs. There are exceptions to the rule. It's not just did he die, but it depends on how he died. One of the things mentioned in the Rama is oymeis bedever. He died in a magefa. So if the man died in a magefa, then it's excluded. Says the Vilna Gaon, a dover nifla. It's machlokes in the Gemara why a katlonis is not allowed to get married a third time. It's based on a chazaka. But what's the chazaka? One Manda Amar says, we're concerned that maybe the tashmish that her husbands are having with her are causing them to die. Another Manda Amar says, mazel garam. Not the tashmish, but it's more of a mazel de gezach. So says the Goyin that when the Ramah paskins, and it's based on a Ramban, it's based on a Rivash, that if the man died in a magefa, it's not including katlanis, loy mi boya, that's poshit, that's going to be true. If you hold like the Manda Omar that says that the reason the Katlanis can't get married is something wrong with the Tashmish, clearly this man didn't die because of Tashmish. But even according to Manda Omar that says it's related to Mazel, so you'll tell me maybe it's his bad Mazel that caused them to die by the Magefa. Says the Goyin, I am Bava Metziah Kuf Hayom Adays, and I am Bava Metziah Kuf Vavam and Aleph, that if there's a Makas Medina, you never attribute it to the individual's Mazel. You attribute it to the Medina. And that's the Mishnah, that's our Sugi that we just learned right now, and that's how it manifests itself over there in the halachas of katlonis, that to the extent that the rabbim were affected, we assume it's not her personal mazel that causes, but rather there's a rabbim diga mazel, and therefore even though mazel garam ordinarily would affect the halachas of katlonis, it's not going to affect it over here. Obviously, this is related to the guy that we spoke at yesterday, that there's a mazel prati and there's a mazel klali. Either way, zok digamara vaiter. So we had over here the idea of a makas medina. And the Gemara, two definitions of a Makas Medina. The first definition is, according to Ishtuf Ruba de Baga, the majority of the fields in the valley were affected. The second definition of the Gemara was, according to Shenishtadfu Arba Sodois Me Arba Ruchayse. Freit the Gemara, Meisere. Hoistash Nashi Dofen Biyarokoin, Oishviyes. The context over there is a Steyachusa. Once upon a time, there were these ancestral properties that were passed down from generation to generation after Yeshua Benun, the Lazak and Gola divided the land. And the halachas were that if somebody sold a property like that, it would come back in Yovel. Not just that, he could redeem it whenever he wants. He can go back to the buyer and say, I sold it because I didn't have money. Now I have money. Let me give you the money back. I want my field back. But there's a two-year buffer. For the first 2 years, you have to allow the buyer to keep the field. Once he lived there for 2 years, then you can get him back. So it says the Mishnah, let's say the 2 years, or one of the 2 years was a shnashi dafain, or a yirakain, a shvius, or a shmita, a shayushan v'shnei Eliyo, or it was like years, like the years of Eliyo, where it didn't rain, in oilem and aminyan. That doesn't count towards those 2 years. So it has to be 2 years where Peiris actually grew. Says, b'gemar k'tani shidafin v'yirakain, dom yidashan v'shnei Eliyo. We're comparing shidafin and yirakain to the years of Eliyo. Mashna Eliyo, they have it full club. Just like the times of Eliyo. There was no tefua at all. Rashi says, "Beshum makim ba'aretz." There was no tefua anywhere. Af hachanami, lo yavet tefua klal. So it sounds like the definition of shidafkin v'yirakin is that there's no tefua anywhere. Avol de'ika tefua, solkalei v'loi kamina makas medina. If there'd be a little bit of tefua somewhere, that would make it that it shouldn't be a makas medina. So faith the Gemara, so you see that the definition of makas medina as it relates to the halachas of Steyachuzah is, there's no tefua at all. So how come in our sugya we have a different definition? What's the definition in our sugya? Either Ruba Dabaga or the Arba Sodes, Me Arba Ruchaisel, seems to be different than the definition over there. There it sounds like there has to be nowhere anywhere could you find tefua. Dumi Yudishnei Eliyah, Amr Rav Nachman, by Yisrach Shani Hasam, there it's different. Amar Kos, the Pasuk says, the Mispar Shnei Tefuis Yimach Lecha, the Mecher has to be Chal for 2 years. And what does the Torah use to describe 2 years? Shnei Tefuis, tefua years. Shonim Sheyesh Mem Tefua Ba'ilam. As long as it's tefua somewhere in the world, that would be enough for it to be considered shnei tefuos. Thus, if it's not kishnei Eliyo, there's tefuah. It's shnei tefuos. The only time it's not shnei tefuos is if there's absolutely no tefuos. So the definition of makas medina there is shnei tefuos. Everywhere else, there's a different definition. So why is shmita not considered shnei tefuos? But you could tefuah b'chutz laaretz. Shvius only affects Eretz Yisrael. Doesn't affect chutz laaretz. I'm basically told him shvius afgata de malka. Shvius different. Interesting Lashon Rashi. Let's see it inside. HaMelech Bitloi Milazayra. The Melech, Malchei HaMlochim, is the one that said that you're not allowed to plant on Shemitah. V'harehi k'moy she'eno. So that the Shemitah year is as if it doesn't exist. V'loi kora ha'kosav li'Yisrael shnas tefuah. So you have to know exactly what Rashi means. But it's as if the year doesn't exist from a tefuah perspective. Thus, it's not called Shnei Tefuahs, despite the fact that technically speaking, you are allowed to plant outside of Eretz Yisrael. Another kasha, shvius leital lemin agarua. If shvius is not considered shnei tefuos in the context of a moichas de'achuzah, that it shouldn't be considered a year in the context of someone that's a makdish de'achuzah. So if somebody steals a de'achuzah, there's one shulchan aruch psukim in the Torah. If someone is a makdish, he makes it hektish. Bede kabayis, there's a different shulchan aruch. One of the halachas is he could be poided, and the Torah sets an amount of how much money he would have to pay, and then it says you're supposed to do it based on how many years are left to Yovel. Because again, it comes back in Yovel. So depending on how many years there are, that's how much money you're going to pay. And it's based on a cheshbon, alama tana, noisin selo punyan l'shana. Every single year between today and Yovel counts when you figure out what that number is, even the Shemitah years. So you see that Shemitah is considered a year when it comes to be Makdash Te'achuzah. Why is it not considered a year when it comes to be Moichas Te'achuzah? I'm going to tell him, Shani Hasam, Dechazi Lemishtecha Ba Peri. You can use a field during Shemitah. You can use it to take your peiros and to leave them out to dry, spread it out there. You can use it for storage. You just can't work the field. So when it comes to being Moicher, where it says, B'mishnash Neit Vuois, can I grow tefuah? Can I not grow tefuah? Shvius is not considered a year. As it relates to Makdash Te'achuzah, then all that matters is, do I have any hishtamshus with this field? You do have hishtamshus with this field. At the very least, l'mishtecha b'peri, that's why it's going to be considered a year. This halacha in the Mishnah, that if there was a Makas Medina, the tenant is allowed to reduce the amount of rent that he pays. It's only true if he planted, something grew, and then, like one of the cases in the Mishnah, the grasshoppers came. Let's say he didn't sow at all. Then not. Why not? Let the tenant say, what difference does it make that I didn't plant? Even had I planted, it would have been wiped out. Domali could tell him, no, the landlord could say, perhaps this pasuk in Tehillim would have been the sky that sometimes a person does ishtadlus, and lo yevoshu be'isra, will be made rov and yisbo, even though there's a hunger still, meaning, had you planted, there would have been a place for the bracha to be chal. Maybe I would have been spared. Maybe Hashem would have performed the miracle for me. So therefore, the tenant can't say, what difference does it make that I wasn't Sireya? We would have lost that anyways. No, maybe not. Maybe had we planted, I would have been zeicha to this pasuk. Masav Rav Sheishes, if that's the case, let's draw a parallel to another. There was a shepherd that was taking care of his flock. V'niach Edra, he left them. Ubalir, he went to the city. Took a little bit of buzz, Zeif, and the wolf came. V'taraf, ubari v'daras. Ein Arim, don't say, ilo hayasham hayamatzol. Don't say that, listen, had he been there, maybe he would have protected them. How would he have protected them? Ela, oim dem hayasayim yochel hahatzol chayiv v'mabat. Meaning, if Yitaka could have, then he's okay. But if he couldn't, meaning then he's chayiv. Because then you're a pesheya for leaving the flock, so you're responsible now to pay for what the Zeif did and Dari did. But if the Zeif and Dari was a scenario where even had you been there, you would have had no way to protect your sheep from the Zeif and Dari, you're going to be potter. V'amai, freak the Gemara, kasha, name alay, why can't the owner of the sheep tell the shepherd, had you been there, have a Mekayim be, perhaps the Pasik in Shmuel Aleph would have been this Kayim by me, Gamis Ari, Gamis Adoiv, Hiko Avdecha. That's when David HaMelech killed Goliath. So maybe you would have had this unbelievable miracle over here, and maybe you would have been successful. Meaning, if there's this koyach hatayno that the landlord has, that I believe that had you sowed the field, maybe a miracle would have happened. So why can't the owner of the sheep say the same thing? You should have gone to the city. What difference does it make? Had I gone to the city, or had I stayed with my flock, I anyways couldn't have protected it. No, maybe a miracle would have happened. Maybe you would have killed the doiv. You would have killed the Ari, just like David HaMelech did. But says the Gemara, you know why? Maybe it's different. Because if you want to go down that road, Mishum Dahi could tell him, landlord. Meaning you think, that you have the schus that Hashem is going to perform such miracles. If Hashem wanted to perform miracles, he would perform a different miracle. Remember this Gemara from the Sech Tainis, the Masin Easy Dubi Bikarnayo, that his goats once brought beers in from the field, meaning they were able to kill bears, which is obviously Shleiki Derech HaTeva. I mean, if Hashem wanted to perform a miracle for you, even with me not being there, he could have found a way for your sheep somehow to avert this danger. Elamai is not performing miracles. So it would have made no difference if I was there. Maybe that's why there's a Kayach HaTayna. But they want to say, no, namely, Lanu could always say, Nehidu Lenisa Rabbele Habe Chazino, Lenisa Zuta Chazino. Maybe I'm not going to merit a miracle like Rav Chinin Ben Doisa, but Lenisa Zuta, yeah, says the Gemara, Kasha. Tony Chod, one Bryce said, Pam Rishayna Vishniya Zaira, Shlisha Zaina Zaira. So somebody is a farmer, he's working the field, he plants one time, Sagaitnish. A second time, Vaitanish. Third time, he doesn't have to do it anymore. Titanya Idoch, Shlishas, you have to try a third time, Zaira. It's only Revi'a Zaina Zaira. So do you have to try two times or three times when you're the farmer? Like, Kasha, Hakka Rebbe, Yakashim Gamliya. Hakka Rebbe, Dama Chase, and you have a Chazok. Quinta Rebbe, that holds a Chazok is established when something happens twice. Try twice. It didn't work twice. You have a Chazok, then it's not going to work. Hakka Rebbe, Shim Gamliya, the Omar. The tlas zimni have a chazakas. Chazak is established when something happens three times. Amarish lakish, loishanu, the loch of our mishnah elish is zarev et samcha, the achla chagov. The loch of our mishnah is only true if somebody planted, something grew, and chagov came. That was one of the examples of our mishnah. Aval zarev et samcha. Let's say somebody grew and it didn't, nothing grew at all. I mean, he tried making it grow. He can't come with a tiny now of makas medino. Matzi amali balakarka, kol yemei zera zara lava azal. You have to continue planting the entire planting season. Meaning, the halacha makas medina is true if you planted and something happened. But if you planted, nothing grew, even if it happened to, it doesn't matter, you have to continue going the entire season. The ad emas, up until when? When does the planting season end? Amra papa ad asi arisi medabro. It's the time of year that when the aris comes home from the field, long rashi here, which apparently was the end of the ninth hour of the day, the kaima kima arishayo. Kima is the tail of the mazel tleh. When the tail of the mazel tleh is on top of the oris's head as he's leaving the field, the end of the ninth hour of the day, that's when the planting season just ended, which is sometime during Chodesh Adar, if you do the back of the envelope arithmetic, based on when the mazolis are, I am Ba'art Scroll. Meisvei, or Rash. Meisvei, Rav Shimon Gamliel, Mishum Rav Meir Oimer, V'chenei, Rav Shimon Manasya Oimer, V'kidvarov, V'chatzi, so I'm afraid tomorrow I'll ask you a kash. Rav Shimon Manasya said as follows, Chatzi Tishrei, Marcheshvin, V'chatzi Kislev Zera. Parshas Noach, the Torah goes through six seasons. The first is Zera. When is the Zera season? It starts Tesvav Tishrei, that's Sukkis. So it's half a Tishrei, Mar Cheshvin, and half a Kislev. 6 seasons, 12 months. So each season is going to be 2 months. Back of the envelope arithmetic. Chatzi Kislev, Tevis v'chatzi Shvat, is the Chayrif season, winter. Chatzi Shvat, Ad v'chatzi Nisan Kar, that's the cold season. Chatzi Nisan, Ir v'chatzi Sivan, Ktir, the harvest season. Chatzi Sivan, Tammuz v'chatzi Av, Kayetz, summer. Chatzi Av, El v'chatzi Tishrei, Chaim. Either way, Rabbi Yehuda made him a Tishrei. Rabbi Yehuda said, no, don't start the 6 seasons from the 15th day of Tishrei. Start from Chodesh Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Shimon made him a Cheshvin. Rabbi Shimon is accounted for a Cheshvin. Now, the first one of the seasons mentioned was Zerah. So Zerah, the planting season, either starts Chodesh Tishrei, goes for 2 months, Tishrei Cheshvin, Tetzvav Tishrei, so it goes into the middle of Tevis, middle of Kislev, I'm sorry, or it starts Chodesh Cheshvin. So it's Cheshvin and Kislev. But it certainly doesn't go until Adar. Man Meiko, but Kula, who's the biggest Meiko? Rav Shimon. Even he doesn't have it going until Adar. So how could you tell me that the planting season as it relates to the Halacha of till when is the Chaker obligated to try? Goes until Adar, when the Aris comes back and the tail of Mazel Teleh is on top of his head, whatever. The point is, you see, nobody holds that the planting season goes so long. There were certain crops that they actually used to plant later in the year. That halacha is negeya, the crops that they used to plant later. The crops that they used to plant earlier, enechanami, is different. So we'll leave him some raid on the table, and in Metz Hashem, next staff will speak out a gevaldig tshuvas chasam sofer with regards to one of the gemaras that we learned. So very interesting block gemara with some more raid to come.